When you think about the fact that they swim 2.4 miles, that they bike ride 112 miles, and then they run a 26.2 mile marathon, that's endurance. Can you imagine what it must be like to muster up the energy? Not only the physical energy, but even in your mind, if you are going to run a triathlon compete in a triathlon, that you have to have endurance.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us for the first half, endurance. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of going for the gold, endurance.
Conscious towards God, endure grief. For what glory is it if when you are buffeted for your faults, that you take it patiently? But if when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For here unto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. And when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. You were as sheep going astray, but now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. So we are coming. This was my last message in this series, but actually the Lord laid something else on my heart. So we will have, and then we will pick up and conclude going for the gold the third Sunday of this month. But this morning, we're going to be looking at endurance. Now, let me just take you back very quickly and look at some of the things that we've covered during this series. And they all begin with L. We went for the gold as far as our life is concerned. Remember, Paul challenged us to build with gold, silver, or precious stone. That we should build our lives with gold, silver, and precious stone. And then we looked at leaving a legacy of gold. And we talked about Abel and how that even though Abel is dead, he still speaks from the grave. The legacy. Then last week we talked about our lips. And we used the example, apples of gold. And we shared that God wants our words to be like apples of gold in setting of silver. And so we've looked at these three areas and have challenged each one to go for the gold. And I see somebody is going for the gold right now with their phone. Somebody is going for gold. And as we look at going for gold, I thought about the triathlon and the Ironman and how that in order to compete in a triathlon, the key thing that's needed is endurance. When you think about the fact that they swim 2.4 miles, that they bike ride 112 miles, and then they run a 26.2 mile marathon, that's endurance. Can you imagine what it must be like to muster up the energy? Not only the physical energy, but even in your mind, if you are going to run a triathlon, compete in a triathlon, that you have to have endurance. You know, when we translate that over into life, you know, I was talking to Deacon Corbin yesterday, and at our leadership retreat, and we were talking about Johnny Erickson Tada and how that at 17, she was paralyzed from the shoulders down as a result of a diving accident. And she's been living her life like that for 75 years. 75 years. She's 75. I mean, not living her life like, but she's 75 years old now. So from the time she was 17, you know, she's been paralyzed. And, you know, if that's not bad to add insult to injury, twice she's had to deal with cancer in the midst of all that. And, you know, it would be very easy just to chuck it in. You know, not being able, can you imagine what that must be like? Not being able to move from the shoulders down. And sometimes, you know, we can't even endure a little hangnail. It drives us crazy, right? Or some other malady in our body. But she's been living with that for all this time. And then to have cancer twice. That's endurance. That's the example of endurance that we all need to see fleshed out. When I think about endurance, and I looked up in the dictionary, there was many definitions in the dictionary for endurance. But I just came up with three, and I've shared them here before. But endurance means not giving out, not giving up, and not giving in. That when we endure, we don't give out. I preached a revival in New Mexico years ago on a ranch. And when I was leaving, they gave me a gift. And the gift was a cat who was hanging on to a board. And, you know, it's one of those things like a door knocker almost where you can hang it like anywhere. And so I got it hung up in my study. And as the cat is hanging there, there's a caption that says, "Hang in, it'll soon be over. Hang in, it'll soon be over." And so what you're going through, Paul said it might seem like eternity, but it's only temporary. Oh, it's only temporary in light of glory. Now, I know for many of you, that's not too much encouragement because you say, well, I'm dealing with it right now. And God says in his word, and we're going to see that this morning, that you need endurance. You need to be able to, like that cat, you need to hang on because it'll soon be over. One day, you're going to come to the end. One day, it will be over. So endurance means not giving out. Endurance also means not giving up. You don't throw your hands up and give up. I like the poem that, and I've shared this on many occasions here before, but it's so apropos right now. Two frogs fell into a can of cream, or so I've heard it told. The sides of the can were shiny and deep. The cream was deep and cold. "Oh, what's the use?" croaked number one. "'Tis fate, no help's around. Goodbye, my friends, goodbye, sad world." And weeping, he drowned. But number two, of sterner stuff, dog paddled in surprise. Then he wiped his creamy face and dried his creamy eyes. "I'll swim a while, at least," he said, or so it has been said. "It really wouldn't help the world if one more frog were dead." An hour or two, he kicked and swam, and not once did he stop to mutter, but kicked and swam and swam and kicked and hopped out via butter. I love that. I love that. He could have been like the first frog, right, that gave up and drowned in the cream, but he kept fighting. He kept fighting. And as he kept fighting, not realizing that he was churning the cream in the butter, and he was able to hop out because he didn't give up. And it means not giving in. Not giving in. Yeah, I share an illustration. You know, we love to spend time with our grandkids. And I remember when our grandkids were little, and I had bought a croquet set, right? And we would go out in the back and we would play croquet. Well, one of my grandkids, there was, I think, three or four of us playing. And one of our grandkids, you know, and I had passed out the croquet stick and the mallet and the croquet balls. And, you know, now you know they're all different colors, right? Shouldn't really be a problem. But one of my grandkids wanted the red one. And one of my other grandkids had already had the red one because they won. So my one grandchild, I want the red one. I want the red one. I want the red one. We just started playing croquet. I want the red one. I want the red one. We kept playing croquet. Now tears entered into it. I want the red one. I want the red one. And we played croquet. And we got down to the last little thing, and I want the red one. And by that time, I told, give him the red one. And my wife came out and she said, all that time, and you get down to the very end, and you give him the red one. What did I do? I gave in, right? I should have had some endurance that could last through the whole croquet match. And so endurance means not giving out, not giving up, and not giving in. And our example of endurance is Christ, who in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Christ's endurance. He endured the cross. One of my favorite New Testament words, and you've heard me again say this word over and over again, is the word hupomene, or hupomeno. And what it means, it comes from two Greek words, huper, which means under, and meno, which means to abide. And so endurance means to abide underneath a heavy load. It means when things are being piled on, that you continue to stand, that you continue to endure. Christ is our example. Looking unto him, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. And when you think about what Christ did, that he went through 7 unfair trials where they trumped up false charges against him, where they brought people to lie against him. And not only that, but they took a whip with glass and metal ingrained in the end. And they whipped him on his back until they tore open his skin, opening his flesh, and going through excruciating pain. Then they took a crown of thorns, not these little rose petal thorns, but big, strong, thorny, almost like small branches, and they jammed it over his head, ripping his skin from the bone and the flesh, and blood streamed down his face. As a matter of fact, Isaiah 52 said that he was so marred that he was beaten beyond recognition. He endured the cross. And then they came up to him and slapped him on his face. And they said, "You are a prophet? Prophesy. Who slapped you? Who punched you?" He endured the cross. And then they took spikes and they nailed him through his wrists and his ankle. He abided underneath the load. He endured the load. And then they took a spear and they punctured up underneath his rib cage, puncturing his heart, and blood and water flowed out. And he endured the cross. Somebody put it like this: Jesus went to Calvary to save a wretch like you and me. And the song said, "That's love." I'm going to say that's hupomenes. That's the ability to abide underneath the load. They hung him high and they stretched him wide. He hung his head and then he died. But that's not how the story ends, because 3 days later, he rose again. That's love. That's hupomenes. That's that ability to endure, that ability to keep on keeping on. Christ is our example. That when you look at people who are going through, that we pray for them and we lift them up before the Lord. But that's not your example. Your example during the time of suffering, your example when you're going to go for the goal, is Jesus Christ. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. As we go back to 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 19 through 25, I want to share three things with you. And the first two we'll move through rather quickly, because I want to get to the third thing. When we look at going for gold with endurance, we see the end of endurance. And what is the end of endurance? It's justification and reconciliation. And I'll say something about that in a second. When we look at the excellence of endurance, it is thankworthy and it is acceptable with God. And when we look at the example of endurance, Jesus Christ is our example. Let's look at the end of endurance. What motivated Christ to stay on the cross? He could have came down. He could have stepped down. As a matter of fact, when they took him in the garden, he told Peter, he said, "I could call thousands upon thousands upon thousands of angels, and they could come and wipe all these clowns out." But he endured the ridicule. He endured the mocking. And why did he endure? He endured for you. He endured for me. Justification. It says it right there in the text, that he kept on keeping on because of justification. Who his own self bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed, Peter tells us. And I like, let me take your mind to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 real quick, where we read this: "For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might be the righteousness of God." That, I heard somebody put it like this: justification. You got two books, right? You got the book of your life with your name on it, and in that book is all your mess. Oh, I mean, everything that you've ever done wrong is in that book. All the evil words, all the evil thoughts, all the evil deeds that you've ever done is in this book with your name on it. And there's another book. And on this book, it says Jesus Christ the righteous. And in this book, it has who Christ is, his character, his loveliness, his grace, his mercy, all those, his forgiveness, all those things are in the book. And on the cross, God took the cover off of both books. He took the cover that was on Christ's book, and he put it on our book. He took the cover that was on our book, and on Calvary, he put it on Christ. And at that moment, we were justified. At that moment, all the mess that was in our book, God covered it with the blood of Jesus Christ. And now when God looks at us, all he sees is the cover of Jesus Christ over our book. I heard somebody put it like this, that God and Christ are in heaven. And whenever somebody sins, God puts another one on their record. Another one on their record. Every time they sin, he puts another one on their record. But those who have been covered with the book, with the cover of Jesus Christ, when we sin, God goes to put it on our account, and Jesus Christ said, no, I got them covered. I got them covered. And so what Peter is telling us is justification. That the reason that Christ endured, he could have came down off of the cross. He could have stepped away from it. But he endured. Why? Because he wants you to be justified. He wants you to be justified. But not only do we see justification that allowed him to continue to endure, but also reconciliation. Reconciliation. For you were sheep going astray, but now are returned to the shepherd and bishop of your souls. That's reconciliation. You were alienated from God. You balled your fists. Now, I know not all of us. Some of us grew up in the church. We praise God for you. You just maybe didn't ball you. You didn't ball it as tight as some of us did. You kind of had one of them loose balls. We balled our fist and we shook it in the face of God. And it wasn't that God turned his back on us. We turned our back on God. And Isaiah said, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all. You turned, I turned, and Christ came. God loved us so much that he sent Christ. And God's sending Christ was his extending his arm to those who had turned away from him. And God tapped some of us on the back, and some continued to walk away. But praise God, hopefully many of you, when he tapped you on the back, you saw the hand of mercy. You heard the voice of cheer. And just the time you needed him, he was always.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of Going for the Gold, Endurance. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, Going for the Gold, Endurance, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Going for the Gold, Endurance. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Going for the Gold, Endurance from our series, Going for the Gold. Or call us at 877-831-5060. Keep in mind, the entire series, Going for the Gold, is made available by request. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Galaise. Dr. Galaise is the author of 10 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877 831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.